The London Eye Mystery by C. Open Dowd. What goes up must come down, mustn't it? That's an interesting camera, Salim, Kat said. My mum gave it to me for going to New York. I wanted a digital one, but she says this kind will make a better photographer of me in the long run. Then he snapped everything inside, including one of Kat and me together with the London Eye behind us. After he clicked, his mobile phone rang with its James Bond theme tune. He leaned over the bridge's rail and spoke into it like a spy on a 00 mission, as if he didn't want anyone to overhear. That phone of yours, Aunt Gloria said when he finished the call and folded the mobile away. Who was it this time? Just another friend, Salim said, calling from Manchester to say goodbye. Let's keep going, we're running late. Late for what, Salim? I asked. Late for the wheel, of course. You can't be late for the London Eye, I said. It turns all day long, 2 times an hour, every hour, until it's dark. The Big Ben donged 11 o'clock as we reached the ticket queue, which was very long. The two mums groaned. It's infinite, Mum said. No, it's not, I said. Infinity. Why don't we come back later and go to the Tate first? Aunt Gloria said. You promised, Salim shouted. He stamped his foot and his eyebrows went down over his eyes. Salim's right, Mum said. We did promise, Glo. Let's stick to last night's plan. Here, Kat, take this. She handed Kat some money in large notes. You get the tickets and Gloria and I will sit at the cafe over there and wait. When you've got them, we'll join you in the queue. Kat's eyes went large and round as she took the money. She put it carefully away in her leopard skin backpack. Then she, Salim and I found the end of the ticket queue and joined it. A lady in front asked a lady in front of her if she knew how long the wait was, and the lady, two people up the queue, said it was half an hour to get tickets and another half an hour to board. A whole hour, Kat groaned. Maybe this is too long. Kat, I said, an hour is a drop in the eternal ocean of time. This is what Father Russell at our church said once about the human lifespan. Salim grinned, too right. He took out his camera again and did another shot from where we were standing. I asked if I could take one. Don't let him, Salim, Kat said. Ted's useless at stuff like that. You'll end up with a paving stone and half a trainer. But Salim didn't listen. He gave the camera to me, and I aimed through the viewfinder to the crux of the wheel. It jogged when I pressed the button. I took the camera away from my eyes to see a man walking towards us. He wore an old leather jacket, unzipped, and a black t-shirt with writing on it, but I didn't notice what it said. He was a dark-haired man with an afternoon shadow on his chin, which is what Dad says he gets at weekends when he has a day off shaving. As the stranger drew near, he threw a cigarette to the ground and stubbed it under his heel, for which he could have been fined £1,000 for dropping litter, but nobody seemed to notice apart from me. He came right up. Excuse me, he asked. Are you looking for a ticket? Kat explained that we were queuing for 5 tickets. The strange man said he'd give us the one he had if we liked. He said he was up near the front of the queue to board, but he changed his mind. He just couldn't face it. You can't face it, said Salim. He stared at the ticket in the man's hand and then up at the eye. I'm claustrophobic. I'd pass out being stuck in one of those perspex pods. Forgetting that it was wrong to speak to strangers, I said, the pods are made of steel and glass, not perspex. What's worse, glass? No thanks. The glass is reinforced. It's very strong and safe. So if you don't want your ticket, Salim interrupted. It's yours for the taking. The strange man held it out. It's the 11:30 boarding. That girl over there, He turned and pointed to a girl in sunglasses and a pink fluffy jacket. He's holding my place. They'll be boarding soon. Salim turned to the cat. What do you say?
Dunno, said Cat.
Mum said to get the tickets for everyone. It's a nice offer, but...
My hand was shaking itself out because I had just remembered that you were not supposed to speak to strangers or accept gifts from them.
But Salim had his hands up, saying, well, none of us get up at the rate of this queue. And Cat, I could see, was weighing things in the balance, which means she was deciding what to do. As the oldest, she was in charge. Okay, she said. Mum and Auntie Glo will be glad to save the money, I bet. Not to mention the time. And Ted and I have already been up already. You can take us, Salim. You're the guest. The man handed over the ticket and led us over to where we'd been standing in the queue. My hand shook itself.